verses 10 through 11. Now, maybe if you're in this place and you're thinking, oh, would he just get moving? Would he just get moving? I feel bad for you. Because this is your reward. His presence is your reward. Amen. Not to mention that, but maybe start loving his presence and then the healing's going to come. Hello. Oh, my, my, my. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11, I want to start with here. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices, or we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. Amen. Go down the road to Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. This is the extreme warfare healing and deliverance service. Amen. We're in a war, we're in a battle. Amen. Ephesians 6. 10 through 13, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, the word therefore means, in other words, what I'm saying, I'm tying this into it. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to talk about a topic that you hear brought up once in a while, but it's not really focused on because Christians are kind of paranoid of this topic. I want to talk about the characteristics of our enemy, demons. Characteristics of demons. We must know who our enemy is. We need to be strategic. We're like a military on this earth for the kingdom of God. Amen? And just like the United States military needs to know about our enemies and their tactics, we need to know the enemy's tactics. Amen? So I want to talk about demons tonight and what they are and what they do to people. I want to talk about, again, the characteristics of demons. We as Christians, we need to know how our enemy operates, like I said, and we need to be able to discern. Say discern. We need to be able to discern their activity so we can deal with them effectively. All right? So here we go. We had our fun hooting and hollering and gifts of the Spirit. Now guess what? We turned this into a training center now. Now it's time to equip. Now it's time to train. Amen? Here we go. Demons are disembodied spirits. All right? They crave to be inside of a human body. All right? Demons crave to be inside of a human body. Or they will even settle to be inside of an animal. All right? How do I know that? Well, remember, the demons begged Jesus to send them into the pigs even, right? And, of course, when Jesus allowed that and the demons went into the pigs, that caused the pigs. What happened to the pigs when that happened? They ran down the mountainside and they basically committed suicide. What does that tell you about the function of demons? Amen. All right? So they desire, demons are disembodied spirits, they desire to be in a human body. Demons obviously preferred to be in a human body for a couple of different reasons. Here they are. They absolutely hate us because we as humans are made in the image of God. Hello. Animals are not made in the image of God. Humans are. All right? And also because they can do more damage and destruction on this earth through a human body. All right? Now, some of y'all, as I'm talking about this topic of demons, some of y'all, if anybody in here has a demon, I feel bad for y'all because they're going to get a little stirred up tonight. You might start to feel a little uncomfortable You might even feel like, oh, I got to get up and go to the bathroom or something, or I'm going to feel like I'm going to start screaming. It happened when Jesus preached. Right. Amen. Amen. Now everyone just got paranoid in here. But listen to this. So they absolutely hate us because we're made in the image of God and they want to destroy everything that God loves, right? And they can do more damage through a human, all right? Demons, when they're cast out of a person, the Word of God says that they will try to come back to that same person, all right? That's why you don't just flippantly do deliverance on a person. Hello, somebody. Because it says they can come back seven times worse. Amen? Now, there's one exception to that when you do it without the person's will involved. There's one reason. One reason to do that. When a person is totally insane and out of their mind and they cannot make a decision on their own. In that case, go for it. Amen? Boy, it's getting mighty quiet in this Presbyterian church here. All right, so when demons are cast out of a person, they try to come back. And it says that they walk through dry places and have no rest until they are back in a human body to influence them and carry out their evil function. All right? Demons are named according to their function. Spirit of lust, spirit of fear, spirit of confusion, spirit of perversion, and the list goes on and on. They're named according to their function. All right? And now, here's the deal. There are two main theories concerning the origin of demons, okay, of where they came from. The first one is this. The first one is that they are fallen angels that are associated with Satan in his rebellion against God in heaven, and they were kicked down to earth. The second one is that they are disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamic race that perished under some judgment of God that's not recorded in detail in the Bible. Those are the two things of the origins that scholars fight about, right? But listen to this. The interesting thing in the Word of God is that it never says that an angel entered a human body. There is no example in the Word of God that an evil angel of any kind entered a human body. Are you following me so far? An angel never did that, and there's no examples in the Word of God for that. So the second theory could be correct. But here's what I got to say. I wouldn't get hung up on any theory or any argument about that. What matters is this, is that we know that demons are real. We know that demons inhabit a person's soul or mind and their physical body, and that we as Christians have absolute authority over them. That's what you need to be concerned about. So we don't need to argue about what the origin is, all right? So according to the Word of God, demons can be the direct cause of a disease or a physical problem in the human body. Do you know that? The presence of a demon could be the absolute cause of a sickness, disease, or an infirmity, all right? Now, I don't believe that everything has a demonic problem, but I do believe this, that it's a bigger issue and root cause that most Christians want to believe. Are you following me? Yeah. Most Christians, oh, no, I can't be a demon. I can't have a demon in my... No, I can't. Well, it could be, especially if there's no healing taking place. A doctor's tried everything he could do, and they can't help. Well, then you might want to look at, this could be a spiritual problem then, right? In fact, there's a spiritual root to every problem in the natural, right? All right, so many Christians are afraid to confront demons, all right? And that comes from a lack of understanding the authority and the power that we have over them in the name of Jesus. If you really had a revelation of your authority and the power that we had over them, you wouldn't be afraid of them. Amen. You wouldn't fear them. Amen. It's the unknown that causes someone to fear that, right? All right, so you could say it this way then. Demon spirits, they are a person. Demon spirits are a person. What I mean is they have the traits of a person. Not a person with a physical body. A physical body does not make a person a person. Do you know that? It means that they have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. All right? All right. So we are a spirit being that possesses a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a physical body. Demons, they're a spiritual being, and they do have a soul. Hello, somebody. Yeah. But they don't have a physical body, and that's why they try to seek out a human body. They have no rest until they're in a physical body because they want to function through and have legal right on this earth. See, if you have no legal right on this earth unless you're in a physical body. It's your earth suit that makes you legal in the natural realm. Are you following me? All right, so here's what we're going to talk about here. Demons have a will or desire. Demons have a will or desire. According to Matthew 12:44, when a demon goes out of a person, it says this, I will return to my house from which I came. Notice it says, I will. Demons have a will. They have a desire, just like you do. Demons do, all right? The demon is exercising its will. It's exercising its desire. Its desire to make a conscious decision, and then they follow it up with corresponding action to try to get back in. They try to influence that person they were cast out of. They try to negatively influence them so the door can be open again for him and more friends to come in. Hello, somebody. Amen. That's why it's so important when you come to Jesus, when you get delivered, you have a revelation of righteousness, do not go back to the same stuff you came from. Amen. Are you following me?
Yes.
All right. So here we go. So demons have a will or desire. Next, demons have emotions. Just like you, just like me, demons have emotions. In fact, some of y'all who have demons, some of y'all have a real bad anger and rage problem, and when that starts to get fired up, it even feels like it's not even you. It feels like there's something else that's stirring on the inside. Well, there probably is. Hello, somebody. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it probably is. You're having a little help with that. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. They tremble, all right? So trembling in that verse, it's talking about they have fear. They have fear of what God will do to them, right? Well, you know, when Jesus was ministering in the synagogues, right? What are you doing, Jesus? Are you here to torment us before the time? Hello? They fear Jesus. They fear the. They fear you. The born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm trying to give you some insight of our spiritual enemies here. Amen? That's why we're trying to equip and train you. Many times in a deliverance session, when I'm calling out or confronting a demon in a person, the person will begin to tremble. They'll begin to shake. And that's a manifestation of the fear. Demons love to operate undercover, don't they? Oh, they love to. Once they're exposed, then they start acting the fool. They start acting the fool. They'll start to do things. You know, people start screaming or they get on the floor. They start writhing on the floor like a snake, okay? So they don't like to be exposed, all right? And I'm happy to expose them tonight. Amen? Demons have an intellect. Demons have the ability to have a, like I said, a thought process and to make decisions just like you and I. All right? See, here's the problem. Here's the problem that many Christians, this is what's happening in the body of Christ. Demons and the devil have become desensitized to Christians thanks to Hollywood. Right? They're just cute, right? They're on cartoons now. Oh, the pitchfork and the horns, right? I mean, this is just cute, right? No, no, no. Demons are real, and they're trying to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy you and I. Are you following me? Many in the body of Christ, we've been desensitized to them, and we need this biblical teaching to come back to the truth and say, wow, we better be alert here. Be sober, be vigilant. Amen? All right. So demons have knowledge not gained from natural sources. All right. One of the demonic manifestations through a man in the synagogue in Capernaum was a demon blurting out to Jesus. He said this. The demon said through the person, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. How did they know that? How did they know that, right? That wasn't the man saying it. It was the demon through the man saying it or influencing the man to say that. Here's what happened. Here's how they knew. Are you ready for this? That demon and all other demons in the entire kingdom of darkness could see and discern the anointing of the Holy Spirit all over Jesus in the spirit realm. They knew it supernaturally. They see things. Here, listen to this. They see things in your life spiritually before you see them in the natural. Oh, listen to, oh, come on, we're exposing the enemy tonight. Extreme warfare, baby. Here we go. They see things in your life spiritually before you see them. That is why, listen to me very closely right now. That is why some of the greatest attacks come in your life before a huge breakthrough, because they see things happening around and in you in the spirit realm. They see things. They see things going on. Ready? Listen to this. They see angelic activity going on all around you. We don't see it, but demons do. They see all the hustle and bustles when there's angelic presence around us. And so demons see that, and they start to say, oh, God's up to something. There's some kind of a breakthrough coming. I gotta really attack them now. Are you following me? So that's why they're trying to get you discouraged to give up. How many times have we given up? How many times have Christians given up right on the brink of a breakthrough? And the attacks came and we said, oh, that's too hard. But the breakthrough was right here. If you would have just held on, use your authority, keep your eyes on Jesus and not the storm, you could have hit breakthrough. You could have hit breakthrough. My goodness. I feel the anointing on that point right there. The greatest attacks come when breakthrough's getting ready to bust like a dam, baby. They have a knowing. Demons have a knowing and a thought process taking place on the inside of them. Everything demons do, listen to me, here we go. Everything demons do against us humans is totally strategic. They're very strategic. Very. They're dumb for fighting against God. But listen, you're dealing with a supernatural being. All right? They're very strategic. They methodically try to steal, kill, and destroy your life. All right, you getting anything out of this? Let's press on. I'm only on page 3. Hang on, here we go. Oh, listen to this. Demons have self-awareness. Demons have self-awareness. I'm trying to make you see this isn't just Casper the Friendly Ghost flying around. Are you following me? This is not just Casper. This is not Hollywood. They are a literal spirit beings that have a soul, a thought process, all these things going on. They just don't have a physical body like you and I. That's it. Demons have self-awareness. When Jesus asked the demon its name in the demoniac, in the country of the Gadarenes in Mark 5:9, the demon said this. Listen to this. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. He knew his name, and he knew there were more demons in that physical body. They have self-awareness. They know what's going on. They know what time it is, and many Christians don't know what time it is. What a shame. We have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. It's the Holy Ghost that puts us over, that gives us that advantage. Are you following me? That's why we need to pray for discernment. We need to have clear, sharp discernment. Amen? One of the gifts of the Spirit is the discerning of spirits. That's to figure out, is this a human spirit doing this, or is this a demonic spirit, or is this the Holy Spirit? What one is it? You ever have someone talk to you before, and you're like, ooh, something don't feel right there. That's the gift of discerning of spirits, saying, there's a demon here talking. There's a devil trying to come through this. Are you following me? So that demon spoke through the man was both aware of its own identity and the identities of the other demons occupying that man. Demons, here's the next one. Demons have the ability to speak, as I've been talking about. The Word of God is very clear that demons can answer questions and they can even carry on conversations through the vocal cords of the person that they're in. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. I mean, it's wild when you think about it, right? Demons speak to people all the time. Listen to me. Demons don't need a physical body to speak. Oh, listen to this. Oh, my. You got to catch this now. Some of y'all are saying, why do I always hear this voice? Why do I always have this thought? Listen to me. Demons speak to people all the time, and they don't need a physical body to do it. They speak through, listen to me. They speak through thoughts, impressions, and word pictures in people. Thoughts, impressions, and word pictures, listen to me, they're all forms of spiritual communication. Say spiritual communication. Oh, they're talking to you all the time. Demons are always trying to influence people. All the time, right? It's 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. In fact, go there with me real quick. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I want to show you something here. Again, thoughts, impressions, and word pictures in your imagination, those are all forms of spiritual communication. All right? There's different levels of communication. You got most people think communication is just verbal. Nope, not in the spirit. Spirit realm is by thought. Oh, see, this is getting deep that some have never thought about before. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Look at this. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every, underline it, thought into, why? Because thought is spiritual communication. Thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want you to notice that it's not talking about our own imaginations or our own thoughts or word pictures. Why? How do I know that? How can I say that? Here's why. Because it started out in verse 3 by saying this, that we do not walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. It's talking about a warfare. It's revealing that there's an outside source apart from your own thoughts trying to shift your thoughts to influence you in a negative direction. Hello. My goodness. So these strongholds, these imaginations, all right, these things it's talking about coming from demons. Nothing has changed today. They're still doing it. It hasn't stopped. Demons are continuing to function and do what they do. Some people, when they read the Bible, they're like, oh, well, yeah, you know, that was back in Jesus' time. No, it's still happening today. Amen. Demons are still active today. They're still doing the same thing they've been doing, right? Yep. Here's the problem. That they haven't changed, but we in America, we've become so humanized in our thinking that we just think that was the Bible, or that only happens in other countries. That only happens overseas. That only happens to, you know, when you go on a mission trip somewhere, right? No. It's happening right here in our own country. It's happening right here in Carroll. Hello. All right. Now, I want to briefly talk about what demons do to people, all right? Demons entice and tempt a person, all right? Demons persuade or try to influence people to sin and to do evil, all right? They know that the only way to destroy a person's life is to lure them into sin and outside of the will of God for their life. That's all they're trying to do. All right? They're hoping that you take the bait. All right? That is why it's so important, the Word of God says, to resist the devil. Don't just resist. You know how most people stop there. Hey, you, brother, sister, you got to resist the devil. What is it? No, keep reading. Resist the devil. Submit to God. You can only resist the devil if you're submitting to God. Amen? So you have to submit to God. Don't open the door to demons in your life. I like to say it this way. Don't give the devil a stick to beat you with. Amen? All right? So demons are always trying to entice. They're trying to persuade you to destroy every area of your life. You know, some Christians get this guilt feeling. They feel condemned because they're like, why am I always drawn to this thing? Why do I always feel like I'm drawn? Well, it's something else that's trying to draw you. Remember, the temptation is not the sin. Participating in the sin is the sin. You following me? Yeah. Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. Right. So obviously temptation is not the sin. So stop kicking yourself. Sure, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted until you're 6 feet under. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Right? So, you know, stop kicking yourself on that and just keep moving forward and know who it is trying to persuade you. Demons harass people. They harass people. Again, like I said, demon spirits are very strategic. Here's what they do. Are you ready for this? Demons study every move that you and I make. They study every move. They see the weak areas of our life. And then they manipulate situations and people to hit you in the weak areas of your life. Come on, somebody. Amen. Someone who had a problem, let's say, with, drugs or something like that, right? The enemy knows that that's a weakness in your life. So he's going to try to, you know, right when you try getting out of it. Hello, somebody. As you're trying to get out of it, all of a sudden your phone starts blowing up from your drug dealer. Right? All of a sudden, you're trying to get out of this sin that you were involved in, and all of a sudden your phone starts blowing up with people from the past. The enemy is studying all of our weaknesses. Every part. That's why I tell Christians, you need to pull back and you need to take inventory and be brutally honest with yourself. What are the weaknesses in my life? And you need to strengthen those areas. Amen? Because those are the areas that the devil is going to try to work on in your life. All right? So they harass people, right? Have you ever had a day where it seems like everything went wrong? Just everything went wrong. People are being rude to you for no reason. You ever had that before? Like one right after another. You know, the boss is being rude to you for no reason, right? I mean, just the devil's trying to stir things up to harass you. It's a spiritual issue. There's more spirit. But the enemy wants you to take the bait of holding unforgiveness and bitterness toward the person. That's why we're called to still walk in love, right? Now, it is called the work of the flesh. You want to know why it's called the work of the flesh and not the work of demons? Because it's still our free will that gives in to that influence. We're the ones actually giving in to that influence and doing that sin. That's why it's called the works of the flesh and not the works of demons. But you better believe that demons are within the works of the flesh. You seen that? Demons are within the works of the flesh. See, a lot of people try to shove off the whole demon issue and say, oh, that's just the flesh. And I'm like, what do you think the devil's operating through? Right. He's not operating through your born-again spirit. Hello, somebody. But you read the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, you better believe the devil's going to be all over those things, right? Oh, it's getting real quiet in here now. I'm pressing through. All right. Demons torture people. Say torture. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. It's very interesting that in Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant, it says that that unforgiving servant was given over to the torturers. That all has to do with holding on to unforgiveness and not being forgiving, not being merciful or loving to others, right? If you feel like you're being tortured and harassed in your emotions and in any part of your life, including with sickness and disease, especially the chronic ones, say chronic, all right? Something you just can't seem to get rid of. Examine the relationships in your life. Well, it's really getting quiet in here. Pin drop right here. Examine the relationships in your life. Are you holding on to unforgiveness? Are you holding on to bitterness toward anybody, right? Be brutally honest with yourself. That's the only way you're going to be set free and receive your healing. Amen? Next, demons compel a person. Say compel. Anything in your life where you feel driven or compulsive behavior toward a sin or a bondage, there's a demon or demons at work in your life. Compulsive behavior is not just being tempted. It means there's a drive to do it. There's a lust to do it, a very strong desire. Are you following me? It's beyond just being tempted. You feel driven to do something. You could say it this way, you feel out of control, all right? If you feel out of control in your life, you definitely need deliverance from demonic spirits, all right? And by the way, when you feel that compulsion, it's not just the demon involved. There are emotional factors in your soul that are giving place to those demons to take advantage of in your life. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Sure, there's demons working in it, but demons play on the weak and the emotional wounds in our soul from our past. Oh, come on, somebody. So not only do people need deliverance from demons, you might need healing in your soul emotionally. That's why Marianne and I, when we meet with people, we do emotional healing and deliverance. Emotional healing, and because we want the person to be a whole. You know what I'm saying? We want to minister. We just don't want to cast out a demon and say, hey, thanks for coming. And then they go out and they go right back into it. We deal with the emotional part, bring some healing there, and then we get rid of the demons. And then they got to build themselves up in the word. They got to build themselves up spiritually. Amen? We don't like drive-through deliverance. Amen? All right, so demons enslave a person. These kind of tie in. You feel like you're in a prison emotionally. If you have a demonic spirit in your life, your emotions are going to be crazy. The emotions are going to be, there's going to be a lot of emotional issues going on. Next, demons cause addictions in people. Addictions, again, they're usually a combination of major emotional issues, even stemming from childhood, and there's also demons at work. If you have an addiction of any kind, there's emotional problems and a demonic problem going on, all right? Next, this is interesting. Demons, the Word of God says, defiles a person. Say defile. It's interesting to note that demons are also called unclean spirits. Unclean spirits, and they will defile you. They will defile your life. They will defile. This is what they're defiling. You ready what they're defiling? Your thought life. Demons are trying to defile, make your thought life impure. Man, I wish I would have known this when I was a younger Christian. I wish someone would have taught me this. Man, it would have saved me a lot of pain and a lot of junk in my life. Pay attention, somebody. A person addicted to and in bondage, let's say pornography, will be trying to break free from it, and in all of these evil thoughts and evil images from the past start flooding their thought life. I'm getting real here. Hello, right? Is there any human beings in here today, or am I talking to robots? My goodness. We got to talk about these things in the church, don't we? We got to talk about these things from a pulpit. Amen? Demons are trying to defile and make your thought life unclean to keep you from seeking and meditating on the Word of God and the kingdom of God. They're trying to prevent you from meditating on pure things. You could say it this way. Listen to this. You could say any thought that promotes the opposite of Philippians 4:8 is a demon trying to defile your thought life. Because that's what listen, whatever God tells you to do, the demons are going to do opposite. That's what's going to happen. I mean, that's their playbook. The Holy Spirit has shown us the playbook of the enemy right here. We read what God wants, and just know the devil, demons, are going to try to get you to do the opposite of what the Word of God says. Amen. It's so simple. Even a caveman. Oh, never mind. Demons try to defile your thought life to try to influence you to sin and get outside of the will of God. They're trying to get you could say it this way, they're trying to get you outside of God's covering and protection for your life. That's the end game. That's the end game right there. The reason they want you to sin is they're trying to get you under the umbrella of protection of God. They're trying to cut a hedge so they can come in and the snake can bite. Amen? That's what they're trying to do. And if they can get you to keep sinning, here's another thing. If they can get you to keep sinning, they will not be evicted and lose their house, your soul, and physical body. Did you catch that earlier? They call a human body their house, their squatters. We have anybody who ever rent anything to anybody? You ever have a squatter, right? Someone who stays in there, they're not paying rent, they're not obeying anything, and you gotta go through this legal process, and they're there for what, a year or something, and they're taking advantage of it. Well, that's what demons are trying to do in people. Yay, in Christians. Yes, a Christian can have a demon. Now, here's why. With the Holy Spirit, when you got born again, the Holy Spirit came and he abides where? In your spirit man. In your spirit man. Your physical body is not born again, and your soul is not born again, because we're told to renew our mind. Are you following me? So that's the two areas. You're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. The two areas that demons can inhabit, yay, in a Christian, are the two parts that are not born again. Right. And that is your physical body and your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Wow, it's getting rid. Christians don't like it, but nevertheless, it's the truth. In fact, Jesus said, when someone was asking for deliverance for their daughter, Jesus said, deliverance is the children's bread. Right. Who's the children? Those who are in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I got born again, I didn't become perfect all of a sudden. I didn't become set free. I had issues in my life. Amen? All right. Demons, I'm almost done. Demons deceive people. In fact, everything demons do to try to influence mankind is rooted in deception. Say deception. Everything the enemy does is rooted in deception. It must be rooted in deception because they're trying to make evil look good. They're trying to make sin look good. But if you are in your right mind, right, you would know that sin leads to death and destruction in your life. So they have to use deception. We got to be one step ahead. We got to be steps ahead of them. Amen. That's why we need to have a spiritual mindset. not carnal, a spiritual mindset based on the Word of God, right? All right. Demons, let's talk about this as we finish off here. Demons attack the physical body of a person. Again, let me say this. The Word of God is very clear that some diseases, sicknesses, and other infirmities that attacks the body are directly related to the function of a demon spirit in that specific area. In that specific area of the body. The Word of God refers to a spirit of infirmity, deaf and dumb spirits. Go to Matthew chapter 8 real quick here. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 17 here. We got to think, if there's a sickness or disease or infirmity, here's what I like to say. Even if you don't know if it's a demon causing it, talk to it like it's a demon. Talk to it like it's a demon. Talk to sickness and disease. Command it to leave. Command that body to be healed in the name of Jesus. Are you following me? Even if you don't know if it is, talk to it like it's a dog. Hello, somebody. Amen. Matthew 8, 16 through 17, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him, to Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I want you to notice, in this passage, it connects casting out demons with healing the sick. It connects those two things, healing the sick. It connects those two things to the prophetic promise in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Did you catch that? So you could say it this way. Casting out demons, setting a person free from demons, is a part of the healing ministry. When a demon leaves a person, healing can come. When a spirit's still there, it blocks healing. Are you following me? Listen to this. The definition of the word healing, this is very interesting. The definition of the word healing is the process of making or becoming sound or healthy again. Sound or healthy again. Sound mind, healthy body. Are you getting it? You catching this? So casting out demons is a part of the healing ministry, right? Healing, it means spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Look at Matthew 17 real quick. Matthew 17. I believe you're going to leave here tonight with a greater discernment about the enemy. I believe you're going to... Things that you noticed in people before that you just kind of passed up, the Holy Spirit's going to grip you, and he's going to say, that's a demon operating through that person. He's sharpening up your discernment tonight. Amen? Matthew 17, 14 through 18. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. Epilepsy, and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Oh, okay. Well, most parents would say, epilepsy, right? Well, this thing's trying to kill the boy. There's something extracurricular going on here. Praise God, the parent saw that. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And look at this. And the child was cured from that very hour. Jesus didn't say, let's go to the pharmacy. Now, I'm not cutting any parent down who does that. All I'm saying is, this stuff still happens today. Yes, it does. Yeah, this still, why don't we ever think this could be a demon doing this? Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to think that. Because they want to go. They want to continue. They don't want to get kicked out of their house. And they're trying to destroy that person. They're trying to destroy them. So Jesus cast the demon. By the way, where Jesus rebuked the disciples that they couldn't cast him out, I have a teaching on this on a sermon that I did before. And in a nutshell, why did Jesus get mad at them? The Holy Spirit revealed this to me. Because this is what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. That Jesus taught them to fast and pray, and they weren't fasted up and prayed and ready to go. That's why Jesus was irritated at them. Why would Jesus get mad at them if they couldn't cast it out? It's because he trained them to do it, and they weren't ready to do it. Are you following me? Come on, somebody. What, I mean, that'd be a little unjust if Jesus was mad at them if they couldn't do it anyways. Like, Jesus, what are you mad at me for? We couldn't do it anyways. No, he was mad because Jesus was teaching them about the kingdom of God and what to do, and they weren't doing it, and they weren't prepared, and they weren't able to do it. That's why Jesus said, faithless and perverse generation, bring the boy to me, I'll do it now. Well, we don't have that luxury now. Jesus is not on this earth. So we better start fasting, we better start praying, and we better be ready to roll, baby. Amen. So Jesus cast the demon out of the boy. So obviously, this demon was in the physical body of that boy, right? When it came out, the suicidal tendencies and epilepsy stopped. The boy was cured. He was healed. I love that. You know what that shows me? That shows me, number one, if someone is suicidal, there is a demonic problem going on. 100%. I don't even have to pray about it. If someone feels a compulsion to suicide, you need deliverance from a demon spirit or spirits. And you need some emotional healing because they're playing on wounded emotions as well. Are you following me? So there may be some sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities in your life. Again, that may be the direct result of a demon spirit in your body. Again, you have tried everything. You're no better. That's because a doctor and medicine will not cast out a demon. Right. Amen. Amen. Yep. Oh, I got demons in my home. I better burn some sage. Would you just stop? Just stop. What do you think? The demons are saying, well, that sage is pretty bad. We're getting out of here. Oh, that sage is real strong. Goodness. I mean, if demons could smell, they would leave after they smelled you passing gas. Are you following me? Hello, somebody. Yeah, I said it. Live on the internet. Welcome, everyone. But no, doctors and medicine will not cast out a demon. All right? Natural means, never forget this, natural means will never solve a spiritual problem. Now, am I telling you never to go to a doctor? No, I'm not saying that. If you have a sickness or a disease or infirmity, you know what you need to do? Hit it on all angles. Go to the doctor, try casting out a demon, go to healing services, get hands laid on you, do everything you can do. Do it all. But here's what I would do. If you get a bad report, an evil report from a doctor on something, the very first thing you need to do, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this, Lord? What direction do you want me to go? But listen, God's not getting mad at you for hitting this thing on all angles. We're trying, right? Come on, we're getting it from all angles, right? God's not against doctors. Luke was a doctor. Luke was a physician, right? My point is this. My job is not just to kick your tail and say, go to the doctor. My job is try to bring in the spiritual mindset. I'm a pastor. Are you following me? I'm trying to bring in a spiritual mindset and the possibility there might be a demonic spirit present that needs to be cast out. Because I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't tell you that. Are you following me? All right. So, let's see here. So, areas of the personality affected by demons are emotions, attitudes, the mind, the thought life, your tongue, words. What kind of words are you speaking? Now, I want to end this thing. I promise I'm on the last page right here, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. I want to end it on this revelation the Holy Spirit gave to me as I was writing this, all right? And I hope you can catch this as well. I'm going to try to explain it as best as I can. Are you listening? So the Holy Spirit revealed something powerful here to me. He said, well, at past healing services, I've talked about the importance of your imagination in connection to healing, right? For those of you who've been here before, the importance of seeing yourself healed in your imagination before it will manifest on the outside, right? Like, in other words, if you can't even picture yourself being healed or doing something you can't do now, if you can't even imagine it, there's a faith blocker going on somewhere. Are you following me? All right, listen to this. The Holy Spirit revealed to me that our spoken words reveal what we're seeing with our spiritual eyes in the spirit, in our imagination, which is biblical. Listen to this, because it says the abundance of the heart, which is your imagination, your thought life, your mouth speaks. Are you following this? Listen to me. If we are speaking negative about our health, about our emotions, let's take it this way, about our finances, about our marriage, or about anything else in our life, it is obviously revealing our focus. In other words, you are seeing negativity with your spiritual eyes on the inside, and it's coming through with negative words being spoken out of your mouth. And that is what the demons are trying to get you to do. They're trying to make your spiritual vision so blurry with negativity that negativity is the only thing that will manifest in your life in all areas. Oh my. You start to shift your perspective and what you're seeing in your imagination. Start seeing, well, I'm broke. I can't afford anything. Start picturing yourself with all the need that you have and all your needs. Start picturing a bank statement with more money in it than what you got. Hey, hello, somebody. Start shifting it to positive and then start speaking it. Lord, I thank you for your blessing. I thank you that there's no lack in my life. I thank you. And just watch what happens. Watch what happens. So we need to fill our heart. We need to fill our soul, our mind with the Word of God so our spiritual eyes can see on the inside what the will of God is for our life. God doesn't want you broke. God doesn't want you sick with disease and infirmity. Start seeing yourself with healing and health, prosperity, healthy marriages, and the list goes on to every area of our life, right? So you could say it this way. Our spoken words reveal what our spiritual eyes are focused on. Oh, my. Let me say it again. Our spoken words reveal what our spiritual eyes are focused on. So I really want you to take that truth. If you take anything away from this, write that down, take it home. That's your homework until the next one in a couple few months. Amen? It's time for us to clearly see and take hold of the promises of God in connection with every area of our life. We must come to the point of getting angry and fight back against the enemy. You need to get angry at the enemy. It's time to push back. It's time to resist the demons that are trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Church, it's time to rise up and use your authority against the enemy in the name of Jesus. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Now, prayer team, come on down to the front. There might be someone in here, maybe you came with a friend or a loved one, and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Do not leave this place. Do not leave this place without making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I've known people where they're feeling the tug, and they, at one of my services in the past, they felt the tug, but they didn't do it, and they got in a car accident and died on the way home. If you feel that tug, your only chance to get saved is while you have breath in your lungs. If you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, I want you to come forward and pray with one of our prayer team members. So we are going to end the service right now. Visitors and everyone, Bishop, First Lady, and Yolanda, right? Thank you so much for coming. Everybody, thank you so much for coming. What we're going to do now is line up right on that side and line up, and you're going to come right through here. We're going to pray for you here, Mary Ann and I. And then our prayer team is going to be right down here. So you're going through a car wash, a prayer wash, we're going to call it. So you're going to get prayed for here, then we're going to send you to the next one. And you're going to get double prayer. So, all right, I love you all. Go to church tomorrow. Go to church tomorrow, amen? Amen. All right, now take what I preach and taught you and go do it and push the enemy back in your life, amen? And advance the kingdom of God. God bless you all.